Greetings and welcome to this installment of Thirsty Thursday. I am so glad that you are here on this day, a day where we are thirsty for more of God, thirsty for more of God's life, God's word, God's compassion, God's grace, all of it, all of it. And that's why on this day I say this day is holy to our Lord. So do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. That comes from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen and amen. Well, in this installment, I want to dive deep around the theme of cultivating authenticity and letting go what people think. Well, can you do that? Cultivating authenticity, letting go of what other people think. This can be a challenge for us. After all, I'm reminded that our children, when going to school this week, back to school week, they're confronted with all of that. Will I be accepted? Will I be liked? Is my outfit good enough? Is my hair just right? Are the products that I have on my feet, the brands that I have, worthy of acceptance of others? For whatever reason, we learn this at a very young age. The look of displeasure, the look of acceptance, it's like just right there. And it's embedded then within our DNA and in our eyes. Watch the room and we look. Am I accepted? Am I loved? Am I being outcast? Am I being rejected? Am I being driven away? And the things that we experience as children, we take into adulthood. And now we go to work. And the same thing, this plays out with coworkers and friends and family members. Well, I know growing up, I went to K through 12 school in a very small town in the Midwest. And it was one of those places where kindergarten was on the bottom level. Senior high was in the very top level. And so as you aged up, you still had to walk by all the classrooms of all of your teachers that you had had in previous years. And as you walked by those classrooms, of course, they remembered you and you remembered them. And it was kind of embedded in my DNA that I didn't want to disappoint these teachers. I wanted to show them that I had good character, that I was a good human being, that I was growing up into the things that they had taught me. I don't think in that environment that I was too worried about rejection. I mean, maybe there were days where I sat in that, but I think for the most part it was, I wanted to make these teachers proud. I wanted to make my community proud of who we were and what we were becoming. But there are times if you don't hold that in check that it can be a thing of pressure or conformity or giving up your identity in order to be accepted. And I don't think that that's God's dream or that that's God's hope for any of us. So how can we create more authenticity? How can we cultivate that, tend to that like a gardener with hands in the dirt, planting the seed, watering, weeding, doing all of those things? How can we cultivate more authenticity of our personhood? And how can we then let go of what those around us may say or think? And this is especially difficult in a day and age of social media where we have to cultivate perfection or we have to cultivate excellence or we have to cultivate an image, right? And then the days when you start letting people in a little bit more or you maybe say things that aren't as positive, all of a sudden people become very concerned or people start walking away from you or questioning what's really going on. Why are you having to say these things that you are? And that's the beginning of that. Well, maybe I pull back my authenticity. Maybe I don't tell my story. Maybe I shouldn't be as honest. But when you're honest, when you're truth telling, when you're sharing authentic story, I think there's life. And today I want us to look at Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. You see, it's right there written for us in this parable. This is the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, where God is taking initiative to find us, that God is practicing empathy and compassion. God is searching us out. So we want to see God here, Jesus here in the midst of the tax collectors, the gathered community, the saints and angels of the heavens. We want to see God here in the midst of the shepherd and the woman who lost the coin. So hear these words. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Right? The horror, the horror. So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Amen and amen to this word of God, word of life. There's so much in this story, but I want to just look at the person of Jesus here first. Jesus is the one that is being chided by the tax collectors, maybe by the sinners, maybe by the Pharisees, maybe by the scribes, by everyone. Most people did not understand the work of Jesus. Most scratching their head, wondering why he was doing what he was doing. Everybody questioning. But in this situation, it's the Pharisees and the scribes that grumble about Jesus because he's sitting with those tax collectors, those sinners, and he's eating with them. Now, folks, this is so God. This is so Jesus. If you walk around with any kind of living faith in God and Christ, the one thing that you need to know is that God dines with you. Jesus eats with you. So when you're at your lowest point, when you're at a breaking point, when you think you have messed up and done all of the wrong things, when you are far from God, guess what? He's showing up at your table. God is showing up in your neighborhood. God is sitting down to eat with you. Because when you eat with God, when you eat with Christ, they're looking you in the eye and they're reminding you who you are and whose you are. They're not there to necessarily clean you up, but they are there to accept you and then to allow you to live into that moment of repentance where you realize, man, I'm a mess. I am broken. I don't have it figured out. I'm filled with shame and all the kitchen sink of the world piling down on me. But in and through it, I know my need of God. And so as Jesus goes out in this story, as God goes out to collect the sheep that's been lost, as the woman goes and finds the coin that's lost, there's this image of it's God who's going to find us. And when we're caught up in grace, when we're caught up in God again, there's going to be a great rejoicing. If you want to hear a little bit more about this, go and listen to the sermon for this last weekend at gotgrace.com. Check that out there on our YouTube channel for the last weekend in worship, where we dive into that a little bit more. But there is to be a great, great rejoicing over what is lost and now is found. Well, that is us. That is us. We are in need of God. And God knows us. God has written a story into our life. God is the one resurrecting and redeeming and raising us up. So church, cultivating authenticity, letting go of what people think. It doesn't really matter what the whole world has to say about us. What matters is, what does God have to say about us? What does God have to speak within us? What does God have to say on our behalf? We have a God of grace and life. And so, yes, indeed, we look to God. We look to Jesus to search us out. And on this day, when we see a God who draws close, when we see a God who says, I want to come and sit at your dinner table, no matter what you've said or done or left undone. Yes, that right there is a cause for celebration. So this week, dive a little bit deeper into paying attention to what God says about you and for you and within you. And a little less about the naysayers around you, the critics around you, those who do not desire your best. And know that God draws close to show you love and hope in the midst of all human struggle. And may that be enough to win each day where you can lay down and rise up in great rejoicing. All right, stay thirsty, my friends.